go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 27th day of April 2017. We are running downhill toward the end of April, hoping to close out to the good and lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky, get the little month-end bonus that comes with that. Yes, indeed. This is the next-to-last broadcast day of April 2017. April will close out on Sunday, the 30th. May the 1st, my wedding anniversary with Agnes Viking Warrior Princess, will be around come Monday. And we've got, and thanks to everybody who took down the overage, we've got $200 to raise this evening and $200 to raise tomorrow evening. And we're finished with April, and we've made it. Yes. So thank you very kindly. Thanks going out to our overnight subscription crew for this 27th day of the month, namely Arnold and Rico. Thank you, Rico. And thank you, Karen. Thanks as well going out this morning to Paul. And thanks also to Tosh. Thank you, Tosh. All of you together made it possible to knock down the overage so that, or underage or deficit, whatever we're going to call it. And so there's no need to send Lassie looking for Timmy because the horn is down a well. Thank you, one and all. So we need to raise $200 tonight, $200 tomorrow. Or, you know, I mean, if we just wanted to get all froggy about it, we could just raise the $400 tonight and be done. One at 400, two at 400, four at 100, eight at 50, 16 at 25, 32 at 12 and at 1250, et cetera, et cetera. But if we can just do 200, we'll be keeping even. If you want to help out, well, run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on Contribute, and there's a very easy-to-fill-out PayPal interface there. If you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, and gosh, it would be wonderful if you were, just click the little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation, okay? So any way you want to help is grand, simply wonderful. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and if you'd like to be part of the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza of wacky zaniness, well, click on Chat Room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be immediately greeted by Jugapunch and Lamar with the silent R and VT Blom and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator and Spacing Guild master, Sparky, otherwise known as Folding Space, to become Sparky HD TV. You see, you get promoted to Spacing Guild Master when you can fold space to more than one place at a time. And I saw that happen just the other evening as Sparky became not just Sparky, but Sparky HD TV and Man Cave. So Sparky is now a Spacing Guild Master. Mm-hmm. Yes, in addition to Thorn in the Side Thursday, Marty reminds us it's also the NFL's annual slave selection, otherwise known as the draft. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some, I guess that starts at what, 8 this evening, and then tomorrow evening at 7, and then the rest of it finishes off over the weekend, right? Right, yeah. But Thorn in the Side Thursday, I've been waiting to see if it was going to be necessary to do this story, and I haven't seen anything. If it's out there, please let me know. I would be gratified to know if this has been dealt with. So far, I don't see that it has. We are still, and the what it is the fact that we're still dealing with a looming government shutdown. And there's been considerable talk about it, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about, well, Trump wants his wall paid for, but he's going to withhold funds for the Affordable Care Act subsidies, and then he backed down. Did I miss something? Has the budget crisis been averted? Because I haven't seen that it has been. By all means, tell me if it has. Like I said, I would be gratified to know. Because you see, there's an aspect to the looming budget crisis, which I'm sure there are lots and lots of people who simply do not give a damn about it. But it matters a lot here where I live. Because as of tomorrow, there are tens of thousands of retired miners and their spouses, coal miners, who are going to lose their health care and their pensions. Now, this all goes back to 1946, when President Harry Truman got a squeezed a deal out of the coal operators to provide for the long-term health and well-being of retired members of the United Mine Workers of America. And there was a time in this country... Okay, thank you, Lamar. He says, nope, budget shutdown, government shutdown still on. There was a time in America where if you took care of the United Mine Workers of America's retirees, you had pretty well taken care of all of America's coal mining retirees. That's not the case anymore. Because the United Mine Workers of America have been shattered into a million tiny pieces. They are a shadow. It is a shadow of its former self. And there are a lot more retirees than there are active members. That does not change the fact that the government made a promise, we the people, okay? The government is not some distant moving hand that having writ moves on. The government, if you take the Constitution seriously, is we the people of the United States trying to form a more perfect union, domestic tranquility, that kind of thing. Well, as of tomorrow, every retired miner and his spouse in the United States are going to be without health care. They're also going to be without their pensions. Now, bear in mind, of course, pensions are deferred compensation. This is money that these coal miners already earned. But they're going to lose it because of the way we allow corporations to play fast and loose with pension funds. And yeah, a lot of them are in West Virginia. A lot of them are in eastern Kentucky. Some of them are in southwest Virginia. Some of them are in Alabama. all of those are states where, and it's mostly white folks. Let's not kid ourselves. It's mostly men. There are some women. But it's largely folks who went as fast as they possibly could to the polls to vote for Trump because he's going to bring back Coe and make Mark great again. And it is extremely easy if you simply think about people in terms of groups to say, well, that's what they voted for. Fuck 'em. I guess they're getting what they deserve, aren't they? Wasn't that awful long back that one of the high-toned editorial writers at the New York Times opined along those lines. I think it was, who was it? Frank Bruni? Yeah? Who penned an editorial at the Times saying, screw Appalachia and screw all, right. And I understand the impulse that leads to such a declaration. But when most of these men and some women were working, Donald Trump was nowhere on the radar. For that matter, neither was Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. For some, George W. Bush wasn't even. But tomorrow, the ones who voted Democrat and have continued to vote Democrat, and the ones who used to vote Democrat and now they vote Republican, and the ones who voted Republican all along, and the ones who voted third party, if there are any. If they're retired members of the United Mine Workers of America, they're going to be without their health care. It's just gone. Just like their pensions. It's just gone. And the question, I suppose, is whether we're okay with that. There's been a boatload of talk about the various and sundry effects of a government shutdown, but this particular group has gotten something approaching no attention at all. The Senate has proposed a permanent fix both to the health care issue and the pension issue. The House wants to pass a bill maybe that would get them up past, say, the midterm elections so that then they could turn around and just screw these retirees to the wall and laugh all the way home. It's taken a lot of doing, but even chinless Mitch McConnell is on board with a permanent fix. Hell, there's 10 or 12 Republicans in the Senate that would vote in favor of a permanent fix. In the USA Today article in front of me, there's a quote by Joseph Holland, 68 years old, a former miner from Western Kentucky. He said, a lot of our members supported Trump. I'd like for him to step up and say, I want both the House and Senate to support this. I keep hoping and praying And I keep telling members to write to Trump and say, I support it. You please stand by me. Phil Smith is the UMWA Director of Governmental Affairs. He's their head lobbyist, in other words. He said, we haven't heard from Trump yet. It'd be helpful in terms of the negotiations process, but also just in reassuring these retirees and those in the coal fields that his message still holds true, that he wants to help these communities. Oh, please, Phil! Now, I understand that there were a lot of politically not particularly well-informed or savvy members of your union who bought into that whole I'm going to stand with the coal miners crap. But surely to goodness, Phil Smith, head lobbyist for the UMWA, you didn't buy into that baloney, did you? He's a Republican. And the House is full of Republicans. And they don't care whether your retirees drop dead in the middle of the street. Because they're Republicans. That at the UMUA, which just sort of got all squishy and confused back long about 2012 when you said you just couldn't bring yourselves to endorse that one in your White House. There's a reason you haven't heard from Trump yet, Phil. Donald Trump doesn't give a tinker's damn about a single solitary retired miner. It's kind of like how Republicans feel about veterans. They love the troops as long as they can send them into harm's way and get them blown to pieces to advance some usually oil-influenced agenda. But once they get blown up and become veterans, you know, who are out of the service, not so much. So that's a question for us this evening. Do we get... I do. Okay, let me make something clear. When I talk about retired miners, it's not an abstract... They are not an abstract concept to me. I know some of them. And you might be interested to know that a number of those retired miners have tirelessly worked against mountaintop removal. Because mountaintop removal is the reason there are so few miners now. Because it doesn't take many people to operate demolitions and heavy equipment and take down 5,000 acres in 5 years to get at crummy little 6-inch seams of coal. They've stood on the front lines with us. They've led us in this struggle. I know them by name. I know them on sight. One of them right now is engaged in a battle for his life against leukemia. Another of them spent every bit of a third to half of last year in the hospital battling for his life. Without health insurance, the health insurance that they were contractually promised, the two men I've mentioned to you, well, it's like that line that Mercutio utters in Romeo and Juliet, having been wounded in a sword fight Mercutio says, ask after me tomorrow, and you shall find me a grave fellow. There are death warrants. That's what this is. There are death warrants out there for these men and some women and their spouses. And the death warrants take the form of a broken promise. And so while we talk about the wall and Obamacare subsidy funding and sanctuary cities, I guess Appalachia just goes begging again. I mean, we're only talking about 40 or 50,000. Oh, I'm sorry. 89,000 retired UMWA miners. 89,000. That number in one place would comprise the biggest city in West Virginia. We're talking about people who spent 30 years underground. We're talking about people who have black lung, ruined backs, organ damage. And my question is a simple one. Do we care? I know I do. I disagree with coal. I disagree with the further use of coal. But I also live in a reality world that says the use of coal is going to increase on this planet up into the 2030s. Before it begins to tail off. There are happy stories from time to time about, Britain, the UK having its first coal-free electricity day. That happened the last couple of days. It was really inspiring. Stories about how there are orders of magnitude more workers in wind and solar now than there are in coal. That's great news. It's wonderful news. But I know the feeling is out there, and I know the impulse exists to say, well, they deserve everything. They deserve everything that's going to happen to them because they voted for Trump. And I've been guilty of that impulse. But things become a little bit different when you actually have names and faces in the grasp of a hand to attach to an issue like this. Joe Manchin, and this is the wrong program to tune into if you're looking for pay-ons to Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin got so wrought about this that he said he was willing to shut the government down over this issue. I'm sure Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eaten future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, is positively shocked, I tell you, shocked at the possibility. Senator Sherrod Brown over in Ohio, a progressive Democrat who I'm sure is not nearly progressive enough to suit a certain faction. Well, he said, we've asked the president to speak out on this issue. He hasn't. I don't understand why. Meanwhile, Shelley Moore Capito, otherwise known as her daddy in a bad wig, said, I'm confident President Trump is with the miners, but it would be nice to have a public statement on it. I think his support is there. No, it isn't, Shelley. And if there was a great big bearded juvenile delinquent god in the sky, he'd zap you with one of his lightning bolts for being a bald-faced liar. Trump doesn't give a goddamn and never did about the miners. I don't know why that is so damn difficult for people to get their heads around. Except for the fact that, of course, Shelley Moore is just another just another damn Republican. And so she'll provide cover for Trump even as her own constituents face grim death. And that's what it is. Grim death. And Donald Trump, who used coal miners as a stage prop, couldn't care less. Joe Manchin said, this one's so doable, and every time I've spoken to him, he's always been so supportive of miners. Joe, buddy. And I know this is lip service, but no, I know you don't, but that's called lip service. He wouldn't, Donald Trump would not be caught dead in a coal miner's home or eating at a coal miner's table. Because they're so beneath, even when they're not underground, they're so beneath him. And he's, you know, he's even said as much. In a Playboy interview, back in the 90s, I think it was. He said if he had if he'd been born here, he would have been creative enough and driven enough to not be a coal miner. That he would have found, he would have been driven to get out of here. But some people, he said, they just become coal miners because he said that he guessed that they just didn't have the gumption to be something better than a coal miner. because there's, you know, in Donald Trump's world, there's something wrong with you. If you do something as lowly as mining coal. I mean, that's just... that's just disgusting, isn't it? Yeah, it was 1990. It was March of 1990, as Ken Ward reported over at his coal tattoo blog. Fascinating bit. In that 1990 interview, the question was asked, what satisfaction exactly do you get out of doing a deal? I love the creative process. I do what I do out of pure enjoyment. Hopefully nobody does it better. There's a beauty to making a great deal. It's my canvas, and I like painting it. I like the challenge and tell the story of the coal miner's son. The coal miner gets black lung disease. His son gets it, then his son. If I'd been the son of a coal miner, I would have left the damn mines. But most people don't have the imagination or whatever to leave their mine. They don't have it. Which is? It is an ability to become an entrepreneur, a great athlete, a great writer. You're either born with it or you're not. Ability can be honed, perfected, or neglected. The day Jack Nicklaus came into this world, he had more innate ability to play golf than anybody else. Do you remember back during the election cycle when Hillary Clinton...
Hillary Clinton! Jesus Christ! Not the Goldman Sachs speeches! Clinton dynasty!
You remember when Hillary Clinton said, well, we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work, but we're going to have a plan for them, and we're going to take care of them, because you just can't leave somebody like that on the side of the road. And the only thing that got clipped out was... we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work. Well, this is the power of Citizens United Media in our modern political world. We're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work. That's all you heard. But we got to help those people. Those people. Another moment. And yet, on virtually no program was there a clip of how the sons and grandsons of coal miners just don't have the gumption to do anything but mine coal. You know, the thing is, when Donald Trump's nasty old Klansman daddy was raising him and maybe slapping him about the chops a little bit here and there, Trump could have been anything he wanted to be because he was a son of privilege. He went to the University of Pennsylvania. He got shitty grades. But shitty grades are no bar. I mean, look, Jared Kushner got shitty grades at Harvard. Look where he is. George W. Bush got shitty grades at Yale and Harvard. Look what he became. Right? He could have, if he had a creative, it's my canvas. If he had the creative impulse, he could have gone to the best art schools in the world. He could have been a painter. He could have been a sculptor. And that would have been okay. He could have been a great chef. Or tried to be. He could have been a man of science. He could have been a divine. He could have been a great theologian. But he chose to be a real estate dealer. And you know, I make deals. It's my canvas. Well, the same does not apply here. The son of a, back during the heyday of coal, the son of a coal miner did not become a coal miner because it was in his goddamn DNA. He became a coal miner because that was all there was. There weren't a lot of coal miners who were able to send their sons to Penn. And so you did what Daddy did and what Granddad had done. It's only by the happiest accident that I didn't wind up down one of those holes or maybe blown up with a, you know, with a one-line reference in our family history that says, killed in the mines. So, when this thing comes and goes, when this date comes and goes, remember that there really is human flesh and blood involved. That there are real people touched by all this. And some of those flesh and blood people won't be flesh and blood people for very much longer. Also cited in the USA Today article, Delma Battle, 63-year-old retiree from Bessemer, Alabama. She also voted for Trump. We were promised our health and pension. Now we're retired and we're fighting to keep it. Trump said he'd bring the coal mines back, but he needs to take care of the pensioners first. But it's not just Trump. Trump's not going to pass anything in the Senate, and Trump's not going to pass anything in the House. This one's on Paul Ryan. This one's on Mitch McConnell. And while I am loath to praise Mitch McConnell is on board for a permanent fix so that we don't have to deal with this anymore. Because you know what? A promise made should simply be a promise kept. But over in the House of Representatives, they'd like to come up with a temporary fix that continues the health care, but screw the pensions. Because, of course, if they could just break the back of the... If they could get rid of those pensions, they could finally, once and for all, break the back of the UMWA. And you have no idea how long the Republican Party has been yearning for that day, keening for that moment when they could finally, really stick it. To a labor union that once got downright uppity. Well, we shall see. We shall see. And we're pretty much 24 hours or so away. Marty says, apparently there's an agreement to avoid the government shutdown. one wonders what's in it. If you know, let me know. Hell, the last 39 minutes may have been absolutely for naught. Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, subject line, Schadenfreude. I'm tempted to have Schadenfreude for these coal miners, but you know what, Bob? I come from blue-collar roots. I was born in a small town in Ohio called Greenville and saw the factories leave and the main industry become fast food and low-end retail. I get the desperation from people who've seen their lives literally evaporate around themselves. But here's what I wonder. How do we approach people whom Pontifex Minimus grifted and work to be in solidarity with them against the thing in the White House. I have to say this, being the adults in the room ain't easy. These are my people. I am from small town America. I am from these towns. I have to help. I'm compelled to. Well, Steve, I would suggest that the starting place is to make the thing a little less transactional. Not every retired miner voted for Trump. Not every retired miner bought into the Obama war on coal. I know this for a fact. And I don't know that we work with them. We simply say, listen, we support you. And there's a difference between this and the ginned-up economic anxiety argument that has been the darling of the for-profit media since we all woke up on November 9th. A considerable difference. There's the economic anxiety that serves as a fig leaf for all manner of racism and bigotry and xenophobia and all of those things. And then there's the real live, middle of the night, cold sweats, 3 a.m., bolt upright horrors that come with knowing you're already sick. And that you're dead without your health care. Some of this is messaging, too. A lot of these retired miners go to black lung clinics. Those black lung clinics were created by the Affordable Care Act, which the Republican Party sought so desperately to take away a couple of months ago, and is still prattling about eliminating. That's where the working with and the education comes from, Steve. There were some efforts made to explain to people here in Appalachia that they had really, really, really voted to screw themselves, explaining to them that the entire black lung process was streamlined and made much more accessible by the Affordable Care Act, and that treatment for it was made more accessible by the Affordable Care Act. But it wasn't an argument that was being made during the election, baby. It sure was not. And that was some of the dropping of the ball that took place here. For those who are wondering, people like Sharon, the sponsor of the bill in the Senate that provides the permanent fix, Joe Manchin was the sponsor. Bernie Sanders wasted no time whatsoever in becoming a co-sponsor of the bill. Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, signed right on. So did Rob Portman of Ohio. So did Republican Shelley Moore, arching a bad wig. One of two senators from Pennsylvania signed on. The one who didn't was, of course, Pat Toomey. A lot of co-sponsors there. Chuck Grassley didn't. It went to the Finance Committee. Chuck Grassley didn't sign on. Orrin Hatch didn't sign on. What's his name? Cassidy from Louisiana doesn't give a good goddamn about a coal miner. So apparently, according to this BBC story, there is a deal. And the vote could come as early as today. And this whole story is all about the White House backing down on a threat to withhold Obamacare subsidies. I'm scanning it now. Yeah, there it is. Consequently, on two key issues, providing funding for a U.S.-Mexico border wall and cutting an Obamacare-provided insurance subsidy for low-income people, the White House has backed away from earlier demands in order to win some Democratic support and keep the budget ball rolling along. Congressional Republicans said they were nearing a deal to fully fund the government for the 2017 fiscal year, but needed more time to finalize the package before the midnight deadline on Friday to keep the lights on in government. House Appropriations Chairman Rodney Frelinghuysen said, "I'm optimistic that a final fundraising package will be completed soon." Final funding package, yes. Eleven bills will be wrapped in. But guess what? Guess what there's not a word about in that BBC story? You got it. The miners. So if they do kick the can down the road for another year, the opinion in the House was to let them have their health care. Screw their pensions. So, I'm guessing that the miners aren't out exactly what you would call out of the woods. And they may yet be losing their pensions. Those pensions are not chicken feed. Historical note coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Well, Bob, Trump's grandpappy did run a whorehouse near one of the mines up in Bennett, British Columbia. So technically he has family ties to the miners. Not saying. Just saying. Right. Deal or no deal, I think, and I'd been waiting, hoping that there would actually be good news. This isn't good news. But I'd been holding the story in reserve. The United Mine Workers have mounted a multi-million dollar campaign sending their retirees to walk the halls of the congressional office buildings, begging not to be left out in the cold or buried in the mines. I had word that they couldn't even get a meeting with a member of Paul Ryan's staff. He wasn't interested in hearing a goddamn word they had to say. The question? Will any of these miners make any of these Republicans pay at the ballot box? John from Central PA with a note. Hey, Bob, I'm sorry to say this, but they voted to take my health care away, which looks like is going to happen. I say, fuck them, man. They take my health care, they can lose theirs, but I still don't believe there will be a shutdown. But there will be a health care repeal for sure. It'll pass. I have pre-existing conditions, so I'm on the chopping block. What a stupid, stupid, stupid country we live in. And again, I understand that sentiment. It's very easily reached. But here's the deal. It's contractual in nature. this isn't a gift. This isn't welfare that's being given to the miners. This is stuff that they bought and paid for with their own blood and sweat and bones broken and backs ruined and lungs rotted. It was just deferred. So is it really easy to say, well, so what if their house got burgled? So did I. And I'm not going to lose my health care. Mine's already gone. I don't have it. But that doesn't mean that I can't have compassion for people who are handed a death sentence without something that they have already paid for that has been taken away from them by Republicans. That's where I am. Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve, subject line, digging down and out. There you go again, Bob. Talking about economic externalities and other costs associated with industrial capitalism as though it were people. Do you know how much a kilowatt hour of coal energy would cost us if these sort of complicated figures were factored in? Actually, I kind of do. Next thing you know, you'll be suggesting that Nobel Prizes should be handed out for crazy left socialist economic theory and other sorts of radical communist laborer added value baffle. Out here, all that matters is that we aren't paying $500 a month to turn on a coal-fired true-cost light bulb. Make America great again? Well, regards, Steve, in China. Don't know what your power bill's like, but that $500 number, it's not for a light bulb. And no, it does not take into account all the externalities, but whoo, glory. We're getting close. Of course, the externalities we're paying for here are the externalities associated with CEO pensions and CEO benefits and executive class pensions and executive class benefits. And, you know, those are the people, after all, who matter. See, they've got a bankruptcy code. I mean, compare the two. On the one hand, you've labored for a corporation, and you have deferred some of your compensation till when you get older so that you won't have to die in miserable poverty and sick as a dog. Well, when the company goes bankrupt, they just march into court and they list you as a liability, not a human being, a liability. And the bankruptcy court says, well, sure, you can have that money, baby. I mean, you're bankrupt now. We got to get all the money together that we can. And then the company turns around and says, oh, while we're at it, will you approve some executive bonuses so we can have executive retention? Because our good executives who ran us into bankruptcy, they might find other work. And we need to pay them extra money so they'll stay on. And the bankruptcy court says, sure, baby. Those are some top-flight executives you had there that drove this corporation into bankruptcy. I'd hate for anything to happen to them. That really happens. And it really happened. Socialism for the rich. Brutal capitalism for the working class. So yeah, I get your point, Steve. I get your point, and I get both Steve's points. Marty says that sounds like what happened with the old United Airlines. Sure it does. It also sounds like what happened with Kodak, and what happened with Polaroid, and what happened with Xerox, and any number of other American corporations. There you are, a working schlub. You put in your 25, your 30, your 35, your 40 years, and you think, ah, my golden years. And then the corporation says, oh, by the way, we need that pension money. Fuck you. Because, of course, the executive class has a bankruptcy code. And the rest of us... we don't. Reminds me a little bit of that Jerry Reed song from a million years ago. She got the gold mine and I got the shaft. That was about a divorce. The same can be said of corporate bankruptcies. So, there we go. It is, of course, Thursday, Thorn in the Side Thursday. That means we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, coming up. Your calls, also, you know the numbers, right? The stress line is 304-663-4676. If you're new to the program and have never heard that before, 304-663-HORN. The other number, 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. Jump right in on any of them if you wish. The conversation is fine. We're trying to raise $200 this evening and tomorrow evening to finish April in good stead. And here at 3 minutes before the hour, we are still at $200 to go in that effort. Just run over to headonradionetwork.com and click on contribute if you would like to help. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, well, the mailing address there is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV-25801. Meanwhile, our buddy Tom out in the Bay Area dropped me a note earlier today. A little tardy this month, but I put $50 in the mail this morning. I'd like to see it matched. I was thinking that a good place for the Confederate monuments in New Orleans would be under a big pile of nuclear waste in Yucca Mountain. Now, that's what you call some high-quality thinking outside the box. Yes, indeed. So there's a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of Tom in the Bay Area. And that would take a meeting that would knock down half of what we need to do this evening. So hopefully that'll happen in fairly short order. So let's take a break. And your calls, if you are so inclined. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. And, of course, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hand me that guitar. Give me a big light. I think I got something to say. I'm a coal mining man, and I am who I am, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm a coal mining man, 3 miles underground. I work where the wind don't blow. I got kids and a wife, and my children way alive. I help make America's economy grow. I mind the pay my bills, digging coal out of these hills while my neighbors raise back corn and hay. I'm a coal mining man 4 miles underground. I work where the wind don't blow. I got kids and a wife, it's my chosen way of life, and I help make America's economy grow. They don't understand coal, but see the quiet diamonds in the mine. I'm a coal mining man 5 miles underground. I work with the wind don't blow. I got kids and a wife, it's my chosen way of life. And I help make America's economy grow. And I help make America's economy grow.
It's Thursday, April 27, 2017.
Today we are putting the states back in charge. It's a big thing.
Trump moves to review and maybe revoke national monuments.
Sky-high flames forcing thousands from their homes.
Florida calls out National Guard to fight drought-fueled wildfires. Even oil companies predict a surge in electric cars. People's Climate March to demand climate action. Plus, sea level rise estimates doubled thanks to the melting Arctic.
Thanks, melting Arctic. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Today I'm signing a new executive order to end another egregious abuse of federal power.
You're signing an executive order to fire yourself? Cool. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, Republicans in the state of Florida have been denying climate change and global warming for years. And well, once again, it looks like they're paying the price for that.
Yes, unfortunately, it does look like that.
My driveway leading to my house looks like another planet.
This used to be a home.
Florida's wildfires are still raging out of control.
These fires are dangerous. They're extremely dangerous. We have to be very cautious.
Florida Governor Rick Scott has called out the state's National Guard to help fight the more than 100 out-of-control wildfires that have destroyed dozens of homes and forced the evacuation of thousands in tinderbox conditions caused by high winds and drought. And it's not just in Florida. Wildfire season in the United States is already 400% above normal for this time of year.
So for Florida, the water is rising up. And the trees are burning down.
That's right. President Trump accelerated his assault on the environment and public lands on Wednesday, ordering a review of all national parks and monuments created by previous presidents since 1996.
Today I'm signing a new executive order to end another egregious abuse of federal power and to give that power back to the states and to the people where it belongs.
Although couched as a local control issue, critics charge the administration's real goal is to strip valuable public lands of protected national monument status, to open them up to industry for drilling, mining, logging, and potentially to be sold off. No president in U.S. history has ever revoked a previous president's national monument protections created under the Antiquities Act. Nothing in the law allows for it, but the Trump administration is going to try. The move was slammed by the Outdoor Industry Association, which said their industry generates nearly $900 billion in local economic activity and tourism and creates more than 7 million jobs in the U.S., far more than the fossil fuel industry.
I love this comment from his signing ceremony.
The previous administration used a 100-year-old law known as the Antiquities Act. Have you heard about that?
Yes, yes, we've heard about it. It's a 100-year-old law. It doesn't make it any less valid.
Trump will also sign another executive order to reopen pristine protected waters in the Arctic and the Atlantic Oceans to offshore drilling, which had been protected by President Obama under directives that banned drilling until 2022 in some areas and permanently in others. Environmental groups and Native American tribes say they will sue to challenge the stripping of protections from public lands, monuments, and those pristine ocean areas. Meanwhile, a new study projects that global sea level rise may unfold twice as fast as previously predicted due to global warming.
Great.
The new faster estimate comes from the Arctic Monitoring Assessment Program and is based on new data showing the rate of ice melt is accelerating in the Arctic and in Greenland, projecting a minimum of 2 feet and a worst case scenario of 8 feet of sea level rise by 2100. That's double the rate predicted just a few years ago by the United Nations.
This is all going really well. Perhaps I should say going swimmingly.
The study authors also say the Arctic is now locked in to dramatic changes through 2050. But they also say what happens after that depends largely on the choices we make today. Sea level rise will also force millions around the world to relocate, including here in the United States. Another study out this week warns that the central United States will see an influx of climate refugees as people retreat from rising seas on the coast. But some good news. Even oil companies are now predicting a surge in electric cars. This week, Total SA, one of the world's largest oil companies, projected that electric vehicles will make up a third of all new vehicles by 2030, thanks to the declining cost of batteries that make them increasingly competitive with conventional gasoline cars. Finally, the People's Climate March is on Saturday, April 29th, around the U.S. and around the world to demand action on climate change and to advance the goals of the People's Climate March. Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon and Independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont on Thursday introduced new legislation in the Senate to put the U.S. on a path to 100% clean, renewable energy by 2050.
So much marching, so little time before it's too late. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, lift your head. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. So move, keep walking. Soldier, keep moving on. Move, keep walking. Until the morning comes. Move, keep walking. Soldier, keep moving on.
7 minutes past the hour on this 27th day of April 2017, Thorn in the Side Thursday edition. The last Thorn in the Side Thursday edition of The Horn for the month of April, the next to the last edition of The Horn at all for the month of April, as we try to make sure that we get get past April with, sufficient funds to lick the Lithuanian and nudge Norsky and pick up the bonus that goes with that. So 200 this evening, 200 tomorrow. Hey, 400 this evening, whatever. But we've still got 200 to go this evening, and thanks to everybody who knocked it down that far, so that we didn't have any deficit whatsoever. Let's run over to the Skype line and check in with the Angry Indian. It's been a while. Hey, Angry. Angry. Sometimes it takes a minute. Yeah, we're connected. Check, 1, 2. Okay, yeah, my microphone's good. Okay, the call disappeared. Maybe. This is a new Skype. Angry says, and it isn't working. Well, damn! I got myself all worked up for a conversation with Angry. Stand by. Spring. Yeah, love it. Okay, well, with any luck at all, maybe Angry will get things working. And okay, maybe he'll get things working, and we'll hear from him shortly. I hate Skype updates. Let's see. What else do we have? Well, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, so we've got some. Are you aware of the new hotline the Department of Homeland Security announced yesterday? It's called VOICE. That stands for Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. Now, bear in mind that an immigrant is no more likely than your average good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, ammosexual, fundamentalist, white guy born here, Merkin. The greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, under God. No more likely to commit a crime, violence or otherwise, than no, it's not. But that didn't stop the bigots, the racists, the xenophobes, and the what have you, in the Trump regime, from trying to gin up a little bit more terror. So they brought this Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement hotline online. With the hopes that people would call in and say things like, I seen a Mexican jaywalking yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know what? I was out getting me a paper, and I seen a Mexican put money in the newspaper box and took two newspapers, not one. That's what it is with these illegal aliens. It's just slimy, sleazy, nasty racism and xenophobia. Because this is just people calling in, and anybody can call in and just make up something. Our buddy Todd takes one for the team and watches, Washington Morning or... whatever, the call-in thing on C-SPAN every morning. Well, I can imagine that once the Trumpanzees learn the number, this is going to be even wackier than the Republican line on Washington Morning. Yeah. But the word got around that the line had gone hot, and it didn't take long for people to figure out what a scam this was. And so people immediately began to call the VOICE hotline to tell their stories of their interactions with aliens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they left a bunch of crop circles in my corn patch last night. Things like that. Or they landed down close to the dockyards, and I just happened to be a little too close to the situation, and they used their tractor beam to pull me up into their spaceship, and that's where they anal probed me. People are hungry for some way to do activism. And the stuff that partakes of humor is especially effective because, well, the Trump regime doesn't do funny. I guess it all got started by a Marine Corps veteran by the name of Alexander McCoy. Interviewed by BuzzFeed News, he said that, yeah, he was the one, and he put out a tweet. Wouldn't it be a shame if millions of people called this hotline to report their encounters with aliens of the UFO variety? And then the number went out, 855-48-VOICE, 855-48-VOICE, 855-48-VOICE. And folks began to act on, well, what Alexander McCoy would be said would be a shame. One individual saying, I plan on calling every day to report how badly these green aliens from outer space are treating me. How about you? Another individual said, if any of you need to report space aliens to our government, please call their hotline, 855-48-VOICE, V-O-I-C-E, and posted a picture of E.T. and Superman and a very, very, very young Jeff Bridges from that movie he made about being right. Here are some of their most wanted. Muggles are, Muggleborns are on the list. Martians, rude Sasquatches, unleashed Texas Blue Hounds, Spring Heel Jack, Goblin Army. Yeah. One individual said, an orange-colored toupee-wearing alien in a bathrobe has been spotted at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. In the BuzzFeed interview, Alexander McCoy said he called the hotline yesterday to report that he'd been abducted by a UFO. Said he was on hold for about 20 minutes before speaking with someone who asked him if he was calling to report a crime committed by an illegal alien. I said yes. They asked if I'd reported the crime to law enforcement. I said yes. They asked me who the victim was. I said me. They said they needed to collect my information and an engagement officer would follow up with me about my story. And they asked me for my name, address, and phone number. I gave them fake information. When asked what the crime was, McCoy said the operator didn't really get the joke. I said I'd been abducted by a UFO. There was a long pause. I heard them do a big sigh. And they closed out the conversation saying that they'd make a note of it, and I should wait for the DHS to investigate my report, and hung up on me. I plan to call again tomorrow. The hashtag Alien Day trended for a while on Twitter. Another caller said, they hung up on me. I reported I was being victimized by an immigrant living in New York City on my tax dollars. I feel like they'd heard it already. You know, melanoma. The hold time is apparently quite substantial. Here's the thing, though. It only works if the pressure is kept up. Alexander McCoy referred to this miserable attempt at terrorizing simple people as a racist propaganda tool, because he said at the time a person is a victim of a crime, they have no real way, and this is a logical observation, and it makes a lot of sense. They have no real way of knowing if the perp is an immigrant, a natural-born American, a naturalized citizen, somebody with a green card. You don't know because, hi, this is my green card. Give me your wallet and your keys and your watch, or I'll cut you. Yeah, right. Marine Corps veteran Alexander McCoy is apparently a pretty sharp cookie. He said, this is information warfare against the American people who I served in uniform to defend. Brian Cox is a spokescreep for ICE. Brian Cox said, "The voice line remains in operation. As yesterday was its first day, I can't give you any sense of whether this group had any impact at all on wait times or call volume because there's no prior data to compare." But if I had to guess, I'd suspect that we got a lot of calls about space aliens yesterday. Look, those 19-fingered things from Norblap 9. You don't want to know what they can do with those 38 digits. You don't want to know. Somebody, however, in John Kelly's DHS was pissed. And said, "It's absurd. It's shameful that anybody would think that our voice line, which calls for people to give absolutely unverified, unverifiable information about people that might or might not be immigrants committing crimes, it's shameful that anybody would consider that to be racist." And shame on those pranksters openly obstructing and mocking victims. Spokescreep, ICE official, nobody's mocking any victims. They're mocking you, you racist punk, you xenophobic freak, you un-American lick spittle for a bunch of goddamned fascists following the fascist in chief. They're mocking you. Marty with the obligatory Star Trek reference. Nobody called about the Borg? Well, look, everybody can't do everything. Maybe that's something you need to do, Marty. I mean, aliens from Norblap 9? Just think of the possibilities. There's over half a century of science fiction movies with which to work. And all kinds of fun lines. Voice line, may we help? Yes, ma'am. I want to report this big shiny silver fella. He's in my front yard, and he just keeps saying over and over again, "Klaatu Barada Nikto, Klaatu Barada Nikto." That's the best I can make out of it. I don't speak that might be Mexican. Mm-hmm. Eight five five. 48 voice. Anybody want to chime in with some other great potential, calls? I mean, people might want the inspiration. Hello, thank you for calling the voice line. Would you like to report your alien interaction? Yes, ma'am, I would. They put things in our ears. It was terrible. Terrible. Yeah, there's this fellow with an old Chrysler Cordoba sitting out on the curb, and he's just sitting there behind the wheel, and he keeps saying, "He tasks me. He tasks me." Sorry, I always go towards Star Trek. I can't help it. Old fella in a robe walked past me and told me these were not the aliens that you're looking for. See? It just requires a little creativity, that's all. Marty says, or the Vorgons coming to blow up the Earth to make way for an interstellar highway. Oh, I don't know. I wonder if they've had a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference yet. Maybe when you hang up, you can say, so long and thanks for all the fish. Give my best to President Zaphod Beeblebrox. This is about as close to Zaphod Beeblebrox as the Republic has yet gotten, isn't it? Okay, so we worked Star Wars, we got some Star Trek, where the day the Earth stood still.
I just wanted to call and let you know I was just cleaning out the dust bunnies from under the bed. I looked under there, and there's this big old pod. What do you reckon I ought to do with it?
Huh? Possible. Let's see. Yeah, I seen an alien the other day, and I tried to capture him and get him to come along peacefully, and he said, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape!"
Huh?
Hmm?
Don't make me do all this by myself.
There's lots of possibilities here. Yeah, I met this guy the other day. He was an alien, and he was carrying around this book, and I asked him what it was called, and he said it was called To Serve Man. And the funny thing is, I'm sitting here and I'm obviously missing some real gems, some real dandies. Yeah, I was thinking about that too, Marty. Marty says, how do we work an alien reference into this? I don't know, maybe a Sigourney Weaver line? Yeah, I had a bellyache the other day and this alien come a-popping out of my stomach. I'm trying here, Marty. I'm trying.
Yeah, I walked out on my stoop the other day, and there's this little green bowling ball sitting on the front porch there, and it started glowing and throbbing and talking to me and said it was the sum of all evil. I just thought y'all would want to know about that.
Heavy metal. Well, I guess you're going to leave me to do all the heavy lifting. Oh, well, moving on. And staying with the science fiction theme on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, wait. Note coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Maybe we could find an eccentric billionaire to fund the hiring of one of those infamous Mumbai call centers in order to jam up those voice lines with phony calls. See what I did there? Phony calls. Oh, you are a witty one. Yeah, a little low-rent cowbell for that, Mason. Clarity says, I feel like I'm just off camera on the Truman Show, the Trump's days. Okay, Gonzo getting in on the act. Aliens? I don't know if it's a crime, but there's these glowing rocks in the pool over at the senior center. Now these old farts are running around like children. I don't trust them. Well played indeed. Marty says, fine, if not alien, then let's try aliens. Sir, my loved one and I found all these large eggs. One of them opened and something jumped out and attached itself to her face. Okay. I just wanted to let you know, I woke up this morning, I walked out in the backyard, and damn if there wasn't this big-ass monolith back there with a bunch of chimpanzees running around it, waving somebody's thigh bone in the air. I'm just throwing some ideas out there. 1-855-48-VOICE, if you want to share any of them. At least it'll slow down the racists, right? Yeah, I was at the United States Postal Office earlier today, and danged if I didn't see a Mexican. Pretty sure he is an illegal alien. And he's trying to buy stamps. Can illegal aliens buy stamps? I mean, American stamps? I don't know. I don't think they ought to be. Don't sound right to me. Don't sound American. Ah, well played, Jack in Shreveport. Subject line, alien in Trump-merica. No one can hear you scream. Ain't that the damn truth? But since we got us an alien hotline, I don't know. It could very well be that Dave Daubenmeyer might want to be calling it. You remember Dave Daubenmeyer, don't you? Old Dave's the one who calls himself the coach, and he's got him a cross on his baseball cap. And when he gets to broadcasting, he always has this backdrop like he's sitting in the press box of a stadium of some sort. He's the one that a couple of weeks ago reminded us that Jesus kept his precious daughters from getting short haircuts and big butts so they wouldn't be softball lesbians. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like he might have been visited by I think there's a distinct possibility that he was visited by an anal probing alien craft.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's going on around us. I want you to know it don't sound right. And only the Holy Spirit can fine-tune us. Only the Holy Spirit will enable us to see things that others cannot see. And I want to show you a couple things. See, we're being set up. Remember, scriptures tell us that if it were possible, Roger, the very elect themselves would be deceived. If it were possible. So it must be possible. And I want to show you something, how they're sneaking up on us. Hey, Jared, just scroll down there. I want to point out, I'm not going to open these links up. Just scroll on down it, Jared, and I want to show you. Steve Quayle, this is a great website to visit, by the way. I go here every morning. Keep going on down, Jared Evans. He has stories that are always listed. Here we go. Stories that are always listed catch my eye. So let's just stay there a minute. Stay right there, Jared. You don't have to click on it, but look here. Click on that one, Jared, or at least highlight that like you were doing. No, back up, man. Go back up the top. There it is. Daily Mail. Go down the one below. Right there. Daily Mail. Here it comes. Have aliens lived on Earth? Ancient technological species may have... This is from the Daily Mail. May have existed on our planet billions of years before humans, scientists claim. You get what they're doing? Do you get what they're doing here? Do you understand?
I don't know, but he probably needs to call the voice line. Just saying.
For the appearance of these, I believe, extra-dimensional beings that are going to come as our rescuers, the ones who are going to rescue the world, and the very elect himself, if it's possible, would be deceived. Now, you don't have to open that up, but if you want to, you can go there, you can find out, man, that is unbelievable, huh? Now, let's go. There's another one, Jared. Look, go down to part four, Unearthing the Lost World of Cloud Eaters. Look at this. evidence of the incursions of giants, the extraordinary technology, and imminent return. This is an article. Click on.
I'm just asking here. Is Dave Daubenmeyer trying to move in on George Norrie's turf? Because George is not going to take kindly to that at all.
Now, Jared, if you can real quick. Folks, listen. See, I got my stethoscope's working. I said, wait a minute, where'd this come from? Where'd this come from all of a sudden? And what they're talking about is unearthing a lost world of the cloud eaters. The cloud eaters were the giants. Folks, this kind of stuff is now falling into mainstream thought, mainstream media, mainstream science, and we're not catching up with it. And all that stuff that L.A. Marzulli and that Russ Dizdar talk about, Russ talks about the MK Ultras and satanic ritually abused children, all that kind of stuff, it is right before our face.
I don't think he quite understands what right before our face actually, means. But wow, cloud eaters. And they're going to be returning imminently. Now, this is a guy who does all kinds of end time stuff. And no, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday or anything. But if he wants to work the space alien side of the street, I'm sure the Department of Homeland Security would love to hear from Dave Daubenmeyer. In fact, who knows? There may be several Dave Daubenmeyers out there in the world, and maybe all those Dave Daubenmeyers need to tell. If there's an ancient race of giants, well, shouldn't the Department of Homeland Security know? And what about Roswell, New Mexico? Right? I mean, you can't just pretend this stuff doesn't exist. It's far too serious. All right, one more thing. It's about 22 minutes before 8 p.m. We're past the halfway mark in the program. And let's see, 7:38 minus 3, 4:38. We're moving into the dinner hour on the West Coast. But folks should be pretty well safe here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone and the Central Daylight Time Zone, so maybe I won't ruin too many meals. Never mind the hockey puck and the duct tape. For this, you're going to want the brain bleach. And when I say brain bleach, what I'm talking about, it needs to be at least 90 proof. Now, some brain bleach is clear. Some brain bleach tastes like pine cones. Some brain bleach is brown. Some of it tastes all smoky and peaty, whereas some of it has a sort of corn sweetness to it. Some of it tastes a little bit like sugar cane and can be clear or brown, or some of it tastes like coconut or pineapples. That's your brain bleach. Some of it tastes like licorice. So, I don't know who's going to be more disgusted by this, the men folk or the women folk. But it really, really does test the limits of one's ability to keep supper down. I mentioned previously that
Alex Jones
is in the middle of a custody battle. I don't know if it's over yet or not down there in Austin. Recently, he asked the media to be respectful of him during this trial. And once again, no big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky hurled a lightning bolt down to just make Alex a little greasy spot because of the hypocrisy involved. New. Let's just... There's only one way to do this. Go to the audio.
You're supposed to have children by 16 in every culture biologically. If you're not having them by 16, there's something wrong with you. Oh, but see, there's college, the priesthood you've got to get into. And then by then, oh, you got to make money because you're in debt. Oh, don't have time for kids. It's all, they wrote books about the 20s, how they do this. Don't have time for kids. You're trying to get out of debt. Oh, you're 40. You're finally halfway out of debt. Oh, you want to have some fun now. Oh, you try to find a woman. Oh, she's barren. She's doing the same thing. By the time you figure out you want to live, by the time you hit 16 at 40, I'm giving you the big knowledge here, folks. At 40, on average, and they did this by design, you are now the equivalent of a 16-year-old. When I was 16, I didn't want to party anymore. I didn't want to play games anymore. I grew up. I'd already been in the fights, all the big rituals. I'd already had probably I hate to brag. So I'm not bragging. It's actually shameful. Probably.
Now, wait a minute. By the age of, come on, we all know this. By the age of 16,
Alex Jones
was probably a 37th level mage in his local Dungeons and Dragons group. Or maybe he was a neutral evil dwarf barbarian warrior. But no, he was done with games. Alex Jones was. And I really do recommend going to Right Wing Watch and watching the video of this because it comes with visual aids of Alex Jones drawing stick figures for the camera. This is one of those very rare instances when I wish that we really did work in video here. Exactly, Clarity. Alex Jones had to be a D&D badass. But no, he was done by 16 because it was time to get sick. Because at 16, you're supposed to be reproducing. Huh. And we wonder why we've got a teenage pregnancy problem in the United States. Well, all he's doing here is ripping off the beginning of Idiocracy. You remember the couple that finally gets to the point where they realize they can have it's safe for them to have kids, and they find out that, he's sterile. And meanwhile, the rednecks are out there. I'm going to fuck all of y'all tonight. Remember that? Yeah, right.
150 women or more. That's conservative.
Wait, what?
Shameful. Probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
No, we got to.
I didn't want to party anymore. I didn't want to play games anymore. I grew up. I'd already been in the fights, all the big rituals. I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative. I'd had over 150 women. I'd already been in fights with full-grown men. I was already dating college girls by the time I was 15 years old. I was already a man at 16.
There are those of us who would challenge that notion that Alex Jones was a man at 16, because there's a pretty good argument to be made that he's, however old he is now, he's still not a man. He might be one of those aliens with the 19 digits per hand from Norblap 9. Oh, and by the way, did you notice the snide reference to going to college, getting into the priesthood? A man! Yes, Clarity, a man! Right. And somewhere in the Horn Family Community Congregation, there are women who are completely seized by full body shuddering. And in the grave, wait a minute, I just want to make sure he's dead. Yeah. He died back in 1999. Was it Wilt Chamberlain who claimed that he had had sex with like thousands of women or whatever? Because there it is. He kept notes at a rate of 20,000 women in his life. And Wilt in the grave is going, no way, no, not possible. Couldn't happen. Jeremy with a note, Alex Jones, that sick fuck, wants privacy in his child custody case, yet he has no problem telling the world Sandy Hook and other mass shootings were all fakes and, you know, just actors. And it's all just a play for to get guns. Just one problem, not one gun was ever taken. Well, of course not. I don't know about you, but speculate for a moment on who, what. I mean, we were talking about aliens a minute ago. Who or what would have sex with Alex Jones at the tender age of 15 or 16. I mean, it's said that there's somebody for everybody, but 150? That's just icky. Yeah, icky, yeah. I hope I didn't ruin any meals this time through. All right, Angry has reconnected. Let's see if it works this time. Are you there, Angry?
Can you hear me now?
I do.
I'm sorry about that. Like you said, updates are not all that great. So trying to update the equipment here in the studio so I could participate in the Friday on the front porch, but that doesn't seem to be possible.
Why is that?
Anyway.
Why is that?
Oh, I have no idea. It just does not connect. Remember, I'm on the we use the Linux operating system over here, and their most updated thing, for whatever reason, when you do the group, it does not connect. It does not connect.
Did you try? Last week?
No.
I mean, you've got to send that contact request to Sparky first things.
Oh, no, no. Sparky and I have gone back and forth before, and we found out that it was the version of Skype that I'm using. So it just doesn't connect. And when I was trying to get with you before, we had updated the thing here, and you cannot adjust the settings. It's just what it is. So said something to somebody over here. I guess he's the tech guy. He's the fellow who deals with that. And he came in and took the other one out and put in a version that we were using before with success here. And so I'm back.
Well, that's just bizarre. That's of course, I guess when you go off into the wilds of Linux, I mean, I've seen a lot of people. You know, a lot of people have trouble with Linux in the chat room. They have trouble with Linux in Skype, and that's the
That's the thing. It's not Linux. It's these other programs. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's these other platforms.
Right, but it's hard to make the platforms work with like 9 dozen different versions of Linux. You might be on a version that doesn't work with it, but there might be a version that does. You know, Mint and Fedora and Red Hat and Green Goblin and you know, all that stuff. I had a cup of coffee with Linux with some help from Grant, also up in your neck of the woods, and just kind of had to walk away after a while.
Pacific Northwest. Yeah, we like it up here. It's a shame that the fucking Nazis show up at the little gatherings and shit where people, you know, because we're, you know, like I go out to the black and immigrant community and I let them know that this is an operating system that is not just free, but it's based on a concept of sharing and what have you. And they're open to it. I mean, I've met quite a few people, especially from Brazil, who they're used to it already because that's what the government and educational institutions use as a standard. You know, Windows, or not Windows, but Microsoft, sent representatives down there to try to prevent them from using open source systems, open source platforms, software, and what have you. Because this allows people who don't have money to spend and 250, 290, whatever it is, on a Windows operating system that's only going to relay all of their personal information, all of their keystrokes anyway, back to Microsoft, who would then turn around and not just give it to the intelligence community, but would then turn around and sell it to private industry. That's a given.
I think so. But I also have a little bit of a difference of opinion because I suspect that what people want, you know, and if you're worried about government intrusions, I'm sure they can intrude into Linux as well as they can intrude into anything else. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just had a note from Arnold saying the Linux client for Skype is terrible. When they do updates, it breaks it usually. I go through this constantly.
Constantly, yeah. Yeah, well, all I can tell you is to look for the legacy versions and, as the techie here said, you know, go backwards and find something that works.
Yeah, backwards, okay. Turn backwards, oh, time in your flight. Give me an operating system that works just for one night.
Well, the thing is, Linux works all the time. I never have a problem with it, and the more experience you have with it, the more you're able to do, and which is why there's so many different versions. But like I said, private industry comes in. You know, Microsoft has what is called Manx. M-A-N-X sounds exactly like the French cultural language, the ancient language there, the Celtic language. It's a mixture of Microsoft and Linux. And in their literature, they've been trying to pretend that they've been at the forefront of open source software, and they've been trying to give information to the world since the beginning of time and, you know, all this crapola. But anyhow, let's look at the news and how stupid things have gotten since we're talking about computer systems.
Oh my, there's plenty of stupid to go around, Angry.
Well, yeah, I mean, because so many people, exclusively, especially with the quote-unquote millennials, which I really think that's a dumbass goddamn, you know, you're supposed to look back in time and come up with these things. You don't create an identity while it's happening. That's just bullshit. To me, as a history buff, you know, that's just bullshit. But anyway, because the majority of young people and the lazy only get their news now from their iPhones or their iPad, they don't pick up a fucking newspaper. You know, they don't pick up any print material at all. If it's not digital, they don't want to look at it. And of course, anyone who's ever done even a little bit of web design or have had to consult for something like this knows that you can only put so much information into one of these small view screens without losing the interest of the viewer. You have about 6 to 8 seconds to nail them. You can hold them maybe for about a max of 24 fucking seconds if the information is interesting. Very few people out there, but folks that will sit there and read an entire fucking paper that will take a, you know,
well,
like more
but,
than
but,
45
but to
minutes,
be, but to be
you know,
fair, Angry, to be fair, let me time travel for a minute and point out that when I was a young up-and-coming radio news anchor, broadcaster kind of guy, I was taught that I had, at tops, any story that went over 20 seconds, I was going to lose everybody.
Yeah.
So I had about 5 seconds to grab them, and I could keep them for 20. That's radio news. Okay, that's not even reading. That's just, and you know, that, with a captive audience driving along in a car, for Christ's sakes. So, that may be a human thing more than a computer thing is all I'm saying.
Well, a human thing, and I'm also going to add culture and society and, you know, a person's particular interest. I will sit, you know, I mean, I've had dates where, you know, somebody like-minded, we went to lectures, right? You know, I don't know too many people that was that. So, you know, I'm likely to read something like that on an iPhone. I will finish it. Maybe I won't finish it in one shot, but I will definitely read it. The majority of folks, though, the 85% of the population out here, though, and let's just speak for the United States in general here to be clear. If it takes longer than 2 or 3 seconds, they're not fucking interested. This is why Trump and W. Bush and so on with these, you know, people are saying these very short, you know, truncated fucking statements that they don't feel any need, you know, there's no need to prove this.
And it's I thought it was on your end for a minute, because there have been occasions where we've been talking and everything's been cool on this end, but it was a little dodgy, you know, coming from you. No, this is on my end, which it's hard to say. Okay, maybe things have settled down.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm just watching this. I don't know what you heard last, but I'm just saying that they're being allowed to get away with claiming that the resistance that they're getting to their anti-immigration, their pro-police brutality, their anti-abortion, their pro-white supremacist platform, is the real fascism, is the real Nazism, and they're now claiming a free speech bit. You know, that, you know, they're fighting for free speech, that they have the free speech to decide, that they have the free speech to accuse just about anybody they want of being a pedophile. That is free speech for them to claim that the Holocaust in Europe didn't happen. That slavery was beneficial for African people. You know, Alex Jones, you know, to protect himself legally, is not claiming that he wasn't the one pushing Pizzagate. He was just reporting what he was told, right?
Yeah, he was only following orders.
But then he came out today with a new one talking about Soros has, you know, total control over just about every Democrat, liberal, and progressive organization, show, podcast, website, blog, RSS feed in the country.
Well, I mean, George Soros is the universal boogeyman. I mean, we get that, right?
Yeah, and the left in the United States is falling for this bullshit. You know, a lot of falling for. And did you get what I sent you in the mail the other day about these well, we call the hoteps in the black community, but the black far right, they're admitting that they're working with the alt-right now, alt-right as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, they want all black schools and they want land, And, you know, they want to stop interracial marriage. They want to stop abortion. So they're siding with the Nazis. And I've been telling people about this shit for years. The Nation of Islam did this. Several black groups in the past have done this. And now these new 20-some-odd-year-old black fascists, they're doing the same thing. They're working with Richard Spencer, with all of these motherfucking neo-Nazis. None of them like Jews. They don't like gay people. I mean, the majority of transgender people, you know, who have been murdered these past couple of years are black. And they're being killed by black men, you know, who are, you know, run around popping this philosophy. So, I mean, they listen to Alex Jones and believe every goddamn thing that he says. They regurgitate this shit. The Pizzagate thing in the black community is considered...
My friend... You know, damn that turns in a hurry.
It turns into a mess and in a hurry. And you can't tell them that. You know, their thing is they want glory. They want glory. I mean, there's so many of these fuckers that call themselves general this, that, or the other. General whatnot. And then, you know, when it really comes down to confronting KKK members, to confronting real neo-Nazis, it's not these fucking young people who are swinging some signs. I'm talking about real motherfuckers that sit around, you know, in meetings, talking. They don't want to go there. They don't. There's a whole lot of fucking talk when it comes to that. But see, they'll go after black gay people. They'll go after folks in mixed relationships. They'll go after mixed race people. But do they challenge white supremacy directly? No, they don't. They work with them. They work with them. That's the reason Malcolm X got kicked out of the Nation of Islam. You know, he knew a little bit about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but, you know, in terms of his being a hypocrite, you know, in terms of how he was having children with the underage secretaries, the sisters, you know, within the organization. That was one reason. But one of the main reasons was the Nation of Islam was secretly trying to negotiate something with the Klan. And, you know, and when you bring it up to these Hotep type, they don't deny that. They think it was a legitimate move because they're like, well, you know, they really run the country. So it made sense for our leader to work with their leader. And they'll make a historical point in citing that Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, also Prince Times. So, you know, extremist, you know, Afrocentrism, extremist Europeanism. You know, extreme racism in Asia, extreme bullshit with La Raza in many cases when you deal with
well, I mean,
Mexico.
But you keep the central tenet is what you keep coming back to: extreme, 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 extreme. It's like what I've said in the religious realm. You know, when you sit right down to it, if you were to bring a pot of tea and set it between a fundamentalist Christian and a fundamentalist Muslim, you know, pretty soon. Hey, you hate dancing? We hate dancing. You think women need to shut the fuck up in church? So do we. No gambling? No gambling. Liquor? No liquor. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a lot in common. And, you know, the same thing goes for fascists and racists.
But they buy ass and suck dick in the dump all the time.
Well,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just... let them go out. But I'm just saying, they're hypocrites. You know, they're fucking hypocrites. You know, they smoke weed. I was just watching on YouTube. Here you got motherfucking Alex Jones, who talked about Trayvon Martin. You know, first he said that Trayvon Martin didn't even fucking exist. That's on video. He said that Trayvon Martin was a hoax, the whole fucking thing, that he didn't even really exist, that all of this was just crisis acting. Couldn't explain and didn't even try to on what happened with Zimmerman being taken into custody and going on trial, still claiming that, you know, he didn't exist. Then he was like, well, he was a pothead. I just finished watching him a couple of days ago on fucking YouTube smoking a joint with Joe Rogan on his goddamn radio show. It's on fucking YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
Hypocrisy, right? Oh, you know, the fucking gays, the goddamn gays, the Pizzagate, the this, that, and the other. But then Dennis Hastert, well, what about him? Oh, well, how about all these goddamn pedophiles defining in police departments and shit around the goddamn country?
Didn't a
Trump campaign official just get taken down in the last week or so?
Yes, a fucking ex-sheriff in Kentucky. That's right.
Kitty rape.
A fucking ex-sheriff in Kentucky.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, and he's not the only one. I mean, there's a bunch of them. If you fucking, you know, take the time to look for it, it's out there. But no, they're not going to go on MSNBC and say, well, goddamn, look at all these fucking Republicans we just found here with their fucking drawers down doing all this bullshit. We've been trying to put up John Podesta and fucking Hillary Clinton here for the past couple of fucking years. It's all bullshit, but it doesn't matter. You know, Trump's son is talking about the cat that started this bullshit deserves a Pulitzer. Nobody's calling him on it. In the meantime, you got investigation up the fucking yin-yang from just about every goddamn federal agency that's responsible for oversight over who the fuck is responsible for us. Mike Flynn is goddamn dirty. Carter Page is motherfucking dirty. Steve Bannon is fucking dirty. He's also a goddamn Nazi. Sebastian Gorka is fucking dirty. He's also a fucking Nazi.
And he's also got, and Gorka also, if I understand correctly, has a really, really dodgy PhD.
Yeah, he doesn't have a motherfucking PhD. So he's another goddamn liar. I mean, you got people who fucking Trump has put into position that supposedly couldn't even fill out the goddamn applications. They had to pay people to fucking help them fill that bullshit out. So, you know, what is really going on in terms of fucking news? What is really going on in terms of the public fucking attention? You know, Pizzagate and all that bullshit is exciting. You know, oh, hey, man, did you hear this? Tweet. Hey, did you hear this? Facebook. Hey, did you hear this? In the meantime, you know, Trump is talking about cutting all motherfucking health care for fucking pre-existing conditions. And the Congress and the Senate and what have you, or the fucking House is like, yeah, go ahead and do it. But don't cut our shit, though.
Well, did you catch the latest from Jason Chaffetz? Apparently, he's got a...
Which one? He's been...
He apparently messed up his foot real bad about 12 years ago, and he's got a bunch of plates and screws and hardware in it. And so all of a sudden, he's taken a few weeks off to go and get surgery because his physician surgeon back out in Utah has suddenly told him, oh my goodness gracious, we better do that right now because infection could set in, you know, 12 years later. What he's doing is he's jumping in there to get this expensive surgery done before he loses his platinum, best socialized medicine that America can provide coverage as a member of Congress.
Why couldn't he go in his pocket and pay for it like everybody else?
No. You never. You never gamble with your own money. You gamble with the House's money. Literally, the House of Representatives. You spend the House's money. I mean, what do you think he is? One of those a pissant pro like the rest of us?
Well, hey, we're still paying for Mar-a-Lago, right?
We're paying for Mar-a-Lago, and right, we are paying for Trump Tower. Oh, which brings me to another little insignificant bit of trivia. Anybody who wants to can go and look on. It was the 26th. It was yesterday, I think. There was a happy birthday wish from Comrade Kumquat to Melanoma. There's an American flag in the graphic. Screen cap the image, then enlarge the flag, then count the stars. It's a flag with 39 stars on it, Angry. Now, this might prove interesting to history nerds like me. There has never been a time in American history when we had a flag with 39 stars. What the hell is that about? I mean, not to get all George Norrie or anything, but what the hell is that about? Anything? Because I'm kind of stumped. And we've lost the connection again. But it's there if you you want to go find that graphic, it's, yeah. I got no idea what's going on here, Angry. How about you? Are we connected? Oh, for pity's sakes.
Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there? Yes. This is getting ridiculous. No, I was just babbling on about Trump's 39-starred flag, that's all.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, goddamn embarrassing. I mean, you don't have to be the super patriot to look at this shit and just be like, what the fuck, man? You know, it's like, does anybody do spell check in that goddamn organization? I mean, how many times have they done... I mean, this is official White House letterhead. They're putting fucking photocopies of their goddamn statements out, and they're misspelled. I mean, even the one with Betsy DeVos misspelled education. I thought somebody was fucking around on Photoshop or something, and no. It really was a typo. They really fucking...
Yeah, but just to get back to something you were saying a moment ago, I played that clip I played that clip from Dave Daubenmeyer a few minutes ago with the cloud, you know, the cloud eaters and all of that. But he makes mention toward the end of the clip about satanically ritually abused children. Now, this is April 26, 2017. Comet Ping Pong Pizza has been utterly disproved.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's still out there. He's a Christian broadcaster, and it's all tax-free. And he's still essentially pushing Comet Ping Pong Pizza to his mouth breathing knuckle walking faithful. And now, for some reason, I'm getting an echo from you, Angry. This is a tough night for Skype.
What the fuck did we say?
I don't know what we did to piss off Agent Fred this evening. But he's apparently hot.
Devil be gone.
Get thee behind me, Satan, and or Trump, whoever hears it
Satan,
first.
Right?
I mean, if this is what we've got to look forward to with the end of net neutrality, you know what? Print newspapers may be making a comeback. You mentioned print newspapers earlier.
Because you and I have talked about it before, that you know the demise of the print newspaper was not accidental, and it's like, oh, well, people are not interested. That's a crock. You know, what they're not interested in is reading about Kim Kardashian's ass and who's got beef with whom, and you know whether or not the Trumps are going to go to Mar-a-Lago or they're going to go on separate vacations. You know, who gives a goddamn? Let's start talking about the fucking infrastructure. Let's ask ourselves about the water quality here. Let's ask ourselves about what fracking is doing. Let's ask ourselves what's going to happen to places like Appalachia because of fucking Big Hole. You know, let's ask ourselves when this fucking guy starts handing and destroying all of the fucking monument recognition, what's going to start happening to public lands? What's going to be left four or five goddamn generations from now, because this generation ruins things so much that even the third generation wasn't able to sustain its fucking self? You know, these are questions that need to be asked and discussed. You know, none of this is being talked about. In the meantime, we're caught up in scandal and allowing these fuckers to get people wrapped up in witches and talking snakes and magic fucking apples and ghosts and fucking UFOs that most likely do not motherfucking exist and all other types of
stuff. Oh, I'll get the email now. Yeah, you mentioned the UFOs not existing. No, I'll get the email now. No, but I get your point.
Hey,
But and maybe this is just a sign of me being from another generation, and maybe it's because I've got the disposable time with which to do it. I try to make a point every day to sit down with my cup of decaf. I'll get emails about the decaf, too. Terrible stuff. Huh? You know what? It's what I can have. It's kind of like the kale and parsnip yogurt.
Well, you could drink Holston.
Oh, God. You want another Sanka? No, I've got some fair trade Swiss water process decaf, you know. It works for me. But to sit down with that and a physical newspaper, there's something about it that the internet can't touch.
Can't touch.
And you know, for an internet broadcaster to say that is probably a little bit of video killed the radio star, but I like it.
But it's true. People have asked me over the years, how come you haven't done video? Haven't you done video? And yeah, I thought about it. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, we look at visual shit all fucking day long, all the goddamn time. We don't listen to anything any fucking more. Yeah, when I say we, I'm talking about, you know, people in the mainstream generation. But at the same time, how many people, if you look at the stats in terms of business, how many people buy audiobooks? And many of these folks, when they're asked by the industry, why do you buy audiobooks? They said, because I can't find the print version of what it is. And it's actually sometimes cheaper for me to spend $3.99 on this file rather than spend $13.99 on a fucking, you know, hardcover book, you know, or now paperbacks, because, you know, all of this stuff has gotten expensive. I mean, information has become priced out of the way for many, many people.
Oh, most of the Kindle stuff that I look at anymore is $11.99.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
how many? Yeah.
So it's it, sure. You know, it's rapidly approaching hard copy, and my problem is that I got too much hard copy. You know, a library used to be the pride of an enlightened person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jefferson's library became the foundation of the Library of Congress. They've still got the books. But to, you know, to sit down, and I like my paper in the morning, not the evening. But to sit, you know, to sit down with the morning paper, cup of coffee, and you know, go front to back, you know, check the sports pages, check the standings, yeah, but especially the A section. It's. I get more out of it mentally, if that makes any sense. Now that's not to say.
No, I think what you're saying.
When I sit down to do prep for the program and everything, you know, I'll have 60 tabs open on any given evening. Not on this tired old computer. It'd crash in a heartbeat. But on my tablet, yeah, absolutely. But it's not the same thing. And it's, you know, what I do in the morning with the coffee and the newspaper it partakes a lot more of something that just feels a little bit more human. And I guess I like the fact that there are still people who are making a living by creating print newspapers. You know, I was watching, and I don't know if you're familiar with the film or not, the classic Peter Sellers film, Being There. Well, Ferg had never seen it, so we sat down and watched it together the other night. And there was a great joy in just watching him watch it, because he's old enough to appreciate it now. But there's this scene where he's going into some big party at somebody's house or whatever, and Shirley MacLaine's in her evening gown with her furs, and he's in black tie, and of course he's absolutely clueless. Louise, the maid, says, you know, he's got cream of wheat between his ears, and they stick the microphones in his face and say, "What did you think of what the of what the paper said about you today?" "I didn't read it." "Well, what is your favorite newspaper?" "I can't read." "Are you saying that you prefer television news?" And, you know, we're kind of approaching some of that. I don't even know if you're still with me, Angry, but there's a literacy differential. I swear there is a literacy differential between what you read online versus what you read, in a physical format. I wonder if I've somehow managed to lose Angry again. We're not buffered up. All right, he's still connected. This is the damnedest attempt at a phone call that we've had in a while. I don't know what in the world's going on. Let me see something. All right, are you back, Angry?
Hello?
Yeah.
I guess I had to go out and come back in. What the fuck?
Well, but it showed you were connected the whole damn time.
Oh, man. Starting to take this personally.
Well, we haven't had this much problem with a phone call in eons. This beats just about anything. I'm even using an entirely different internet connection. Everything's working. Sorry, y'all. I mean, sometimes the magic works. Oh, no, you don't. I've got a studio cat this evening. And she wants nothing more than to take a walk across the mix desk. Oh, I suspect I know what the problem is. Yeah, I really do. All All right, let's try this again. I mean, I hate for my conversations with Angry to be so truncated, because they usually have such a nice flow to them.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm back. You there?
Yep. Okay.
This is fucking stupid. I don't know if we can even get anything resembling continuity at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't need to be all that fucking flustered. I mean, we were just talking about how ridiculous every fucking thing is. So, I mean, you can pick up. I mean, there's so much bullshit. You can start anywhere, frankly.
That's about it. Yeah, it's about true. But nonetheless, it gets frustrating under these circumstances. But
I will say this though, because I could hear you why you were going on. One of the things that I really feel that is being neglected in terms of the discussion about newspapers and why whatever the fuck the left is supposed to be, or you know, the workers' movement is supposed to be, to not have gone back or at least resisted the push to go strictly digital, was that when you read that newspaper over your coffee, if you're somebody that they could afford a subscription, what did you usually do with that paper? You passed it on to somebody else. You know, in blue collar culture, when you read
the
paper,
just leave it on the table for the next guy.
For the next guy. So the information got passed around. That's how I first saw my first union paper. You know, now that you mention it, Bob, I went into the cafeteria, sat down with my lunch, you know, my cup of coffee, my lunch, what have you, and there was the union paper there. But it wasn't my union, it was another union, you know. But I read it, I had it for a few days, and then I gave it to somebody, and, you know, I saw him later. He said, yeah, I passed it on to a fellow on my job. And, you know, that is what that they worried about, that you can, you know, the idea of passing information. Now, they like the fact that information can go out here and catch, you know, can catch fire. But it's the bullshit information that they want to catch fire. I mean, Stephen Bannon made it goddamn clear. He admitted this. I intend to fuck up the idea of facts and truth in terms of news reportage in the United States. And that we've been planning to do this kind of shit for a while, but I'm the guy that's going to actually get it done. Breitbart passed away, so I'm going to get it done. You know, the idea that if we have enough of our own media, which they've already had in goddamn way, but what they mean is media that wouldn't question their questionable fucking facts, which are not facts at all. And here you have somebody like Trump. If you ask him a direct fucking question, he gets angry with you, which means what? He's a fucking liar. Anybody that gets angry with you because you ask them a direct question, Trump has said this, has something to fucking hide. You know, I mean, we have a culture now that says that if you don't have all of your personal information on Facebook, then something's wrong with you. Why isn't that a question?
Well, exactly.
You know, what kind of society is that?
I'm limited. I really am. I'm limited in my internet usage because I'm so information oriented. I very seldom read entertainment articles, but you're a heavy Twitter user. Go and look at what's trending on any given day. Odds are it doesn't have anything to do with anything that is even remotely important. You know, sometimes there'll be cute stuff or what have you, but most times, nah, it's just junk. Again, you know, something about Kim Kardashian's ass. Let's see.
And if it was real, it would be fantastic and be interesting.
Trends,
but,
okay.
I'm tired of hearing about it.
Trends for you. Mitchell Trubisky, NFL draft. Oh, look, Berkeley protest. Take your child to work today. Educolor. But
Well, Flynn was trending.
Yeah.
But they're trying to blame Obama for this now. Well, which is to be fucking expected. I mean, Spicer had the goddamn temerity to do that at the White House this morning. Flat out blamed Obama for Flynn being a foreign agent. How the fuck do you blame the former president for your current goddamn national security advisor being a fucking retroactively filing foreign agent to two different goddamn countries? How the fuck does that work?
Well, and it's really, and then there's, you know, there's the larger issue of, hey, look, all that money from Turkey didn't really come from Turkey. It actually came through Turkey from a Russian philanthropy foundation.
Right.
But of course, then there's the fact, and I mean, I think probably one of the most successful pieces of informational subterfuge is the degree of, I mean, look, Russia didn't have to get into our voting machines. They're a fucked up enough mess as it is. What they had to do, and you know, what the information we have is that, you know, that they were interested in delegitimizing the idea of participatory democracy. And that happened Panavision 3D Technicolor in this election. The amount of just outright incorrect information that was flowing around out there and was picked up and run with is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, but the system allowed it to happen. I mean, when Cheney said, when the Bush-Cheney administration was in, and he said this, we're making up reality on a day-to-day, on a day-by-day basis. You know, and then you had Rumsfeld with his famous known unknowns. You know, we're just, you know, every day is a different day. Yesterday we said we didn't have enough, you know, material to go into Iraq. And, well, you go with the army you have, not the army you want to have. And, you know, we know exactly where bin Laden is. And then after everything was over, oh, we had no idea that none of this shit was going on. Oh, well, we knew where the WMDs were, we thought, but they're still there. We're still looking. And, you know, that conversation has just faded the fuck away. Because I'm going to tell you something. I used to live a few doors, actually like a block and a half away from Michael Medved when I was still living in Seattle. And motherfucking, you know, I never got to see him on the street, but I wanted to ask you to catch him. Never saw him in any of the cafes up there, nothing. But I wanted to catch him and say, hey, man, you've been on your goddamn show for over a year talking about, you know, oh, they're going to find the WMDs, they're going to find them, and you kept talking that bullshit, and nothing's fucking been found. You know, they will never back down. They just pretend that they never fucking said it at all. You know, I mean, this is what, when we got cut off, what I was talking about. Here you have neo-Nazis accusing the people who are opposing them of being Nazis, and this is carrying water on the internet. Now, would this carry water if you actually had accurate fucking reporting in the mainstream fucking news media? Now, common sense says that that shouldn't carry at all. But, you know...
But it damn sure did.
Shep Smith arguing about... What's that?
I said it did, but it did carry. And
well, yeah.
And I can,
yeah, well,
I could
down version of it. Yeah.
If I started ticking off things just right now, and I'm not gonna, I would start a firestorm email wise that wouldn't end until sometime this weekend. Because probably the single most successful piece of disinformation is that Vladimir Putin is this disinterested, benign, wouldn't harm a flea, everybody's a psychopath but him, line of unmitigated horse shit. and it was highly effective. It's gotten it got legs, and then the legs set down roots. So that we can't, and it's a very it's proven very effective, insofar as it prevents us from reaching any sort of national consensus.
Yeah, that's a big fucking problem. That's a big problem. I mean, you have people. For example, you know that video you and I have talked about, and you played the audio on this show. When Bill Maher, who I wouldn't trust, if there was a Nazi standing next to me with a gun to my fucking head, I wouldn't trust Bill Maher to say a goddamn word. He will defend Ann Coulter, you know, about their fucking friendship and all that. And to me, if you're friends with a fucking racist son of a bitch, that makes you a friend of a racist son of a bitch. You know, if you're going to be okay with that, fuck you. When they went to Mississippi and asked these people who don't have a goddamn thing, some of them still using outhouses and fucking burning wood and shit for heat, talking about, oh, well, I don't have anything. One of them was living in a fucking lean-to. And he's like, I'm going to back the Republicans. And it's like, why? Because they might do something for me. And they're talking about God and blah, 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 blah. So as far as they're concerned, the entire fucking universe is what they see in that section of Mississippi. Nothing that happens in the rest of the state matters to them, except, you know, really peripherally. I mean, in a literal sense. And what happens overseas on the other side of the country and the people who are not Christian and shit like that, I don't know. Why doesn't it matter to me? I think everything is going great here. We got longer summers. It's getting warmer. I mean, we must be doing what God wants us to do on this earth. Right? I know. Same shit with the African community. I criticize the same goddamn fucking thing. This is the universe. There's nothing else other than this. There's nothing.
Well, look what I started the program with, Angry. People that it is very, very easy for liberals and progressives to go, ah, fuck them. Retired coal miners, many of whom voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
A tremendous number of whom probably bought into the whole Obama war on coal, EPA, job-killing regulations, line of horse shit. But I'm supposed to just say fuck them when I know them by name? When I look in their eyes? And when I know for a fact that they've stood shoulder to shoulder with me in the struggle against mountaintop removal? Ah, well, yeah, but, you know, your brothers and sisters in the union voted for Trump, so fuck you too. It ain't that easy, Angry.
Oh, I never said it was.
No, but I didn't say. I didn't say you did.
Cut the line. No. Yeah, but we've had this discussion before. You know, one of the problems of the fucking American left is it doesn't really fucking want to say this is what the fuck I stand for. It's so busy trying to be goddamn conciliatory to people who are not in any way, shape, or form willing to fucking work with you on anything other than getting what the fuck they want. This is why Pelosi and Reid in that sense and the entire DNC, and I'm including Tom Perez because he's been going along with this bullshit too. And it's not to say that Bernie Sanders is the fucking second coming, but you know, you had a goddamn chance to really fucking do something and you didn't. And then you had the rank and file telling you what they wanted and you said, fuck you, we're going to do what the fuck we're going to do. And yeah, it's easy to put all this shit on Republicans, and it's also easy to say, well, the Democrats are fucked up too. Okay, yeah, they're all fucked up. We're all fucked up. But, you know, saying that over and the fuck over doesn't mean a goddamn thing. We're in this fucking position because, one, white people have never fucking dealt with their own goddamn racism, and they've never dealt with their sexism. Now, yeah, I'm not for fucking Hillary, but I'm not for Hillary for fucking reasons that make sense to me. She's a fucking racist. She's always supported fucking racism. She identified as the super predators. Personally, I'm one of the people that paid for that fucking racism of hers. You know, she's responsible for fucking violence against indigenous people in South America. So, you know, there's good fucking reasons for me to not have any fucking thing to do with her. But I'm not going to go against, I'm not going to side with Republicans to go against her because I don't like Hillary. And I wasn't going to side with Jill Stein, who was sitting with Michael Flynn and all these other goddamn Russians and shit. You know, they turned around, who's her and her husband own just as much goddamn corporate fucking stock
as the goddamn Clintons do as a couple, almost. You know, I mean, they're not as up there as the Clintons, but they play in that goddamn field, too. Why the fuck was she sitting there with Michael Flynn, number one, and why were they sitting there with Russians? But how many on the fucking left in the U.S. sided with the Jill Stein bullshit because, you know, Bernie Sanders is just some old Jew who needs a haircut and wouldn't motherfucking back him. And I want a woman, but I don't like Hillary, so I went this way. And then, you know, but I'm left. But I don't really know what my politics are. And I don't want the right wing angry with me. So, you know, I'll go this way. Because the neo-Nazis, some of them were supporting Stein, too. And a lot of them said that they would have supported fucking Sanders just for the simple fact that they felt that they could have gotten some of their fucking the health bullshit that they want for white people because they're conscious of the goddamn opioid slash heroin fucking epidemic that's tearing up white America. And when you got somebody like Pence who cuts the goddamn Planned Parenthood funding, you know, well, all these men doing this bullshit because, you know, all they do is abortions, right? They never check people for anything else.
Yeah, right, you know, right, absolutely.
Because in his own fucking state, when he cut it, and the HIV rates went up for white people in his district, and the hepatitis and all the other blood-borne diseases that occurred from shooting dope went up, he said that he would pray about it. He prayed about it for about a year and a fucking half and didn't do any fucking thing. And every state that has cut funding for Planned Parenthood saw a rise in HIV infections amongst the white population there, who are mostly getting infected for trading sex for drugs, sex for beer, sex for rent. You know, the shit that a lot of white people don't like to goddamn talk about. You know, this fucking shit that's going on. And in the meantime, instead of fucking dealing with that, well, we'll just blame immigrants and, you know, we'll blame the gays and, you know, we'll blame the Mike Malloys and the fucking Bob Kincaids and the angry Indians and shit for pointing this shit out. You know, I mean, we're totally flipping. Here it is. We got Edward Snowden. Okay, he did what he did. But Edward Snowden is also a fucking libertarian. Here you got Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks supported Ron Paul. WikiLeaks supported Rand Paul. WikiLeaks is supposedly, you know, hooked up with Australia.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I'm trying to figure out why it is that there's such a tiny handful of people, and it's a tiny handful of people who actually know what Julian Assange is. And I'm not treason, espionage, bull. No, fuck that. I'm talking about the fact that he is a right-wing libertarian.
Mm-hmm. And a Jew hater, apparently.
And yet the so-called hard left gets all squishy about him.
Hey, even when he was putting out, and he did this at least three times, anti-Semitic and Judeophobic, yeah, because anti-Semitic, that's whatever, Judeophobic, you know, not particularly kind to Jewish people, comments on Twitter that after you know, someone said something, they were removed, you know, like later that day, you know, within a couple of hours or so. So he's been questionable from the beginning. And I questioned on my show, The Last Dispatch, why Democracy Now! Still has him on when it's pretty clear that, you know, the Russians hacked the DNC and the motherfucking RNC, but WikiLeaks only saw fit to release the DNC fucking material, knowing that that shit was going to damage whom and help which fucking political fucking party? WikiLeaks made a decision to help Trump.
Yeah, because, and WikiLeaks released what they were given, okay?
Given.
They didn't get
which
any,
makes them a fucking agent.
And there's, something you kind of got to acknowledge here, and that is, it's something I said the other night. All they are data dumpers. There's no editorial work being done. It's not actual journalism. It's just data dumping.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, and I'm going to say this, because I found WikiLeaks a long time ago, maybe about 3 or 4 months after they had initially started, because that was where I actually found, because they were leaking European material. So no one in the U.S. saw it as a threat anyway and gave a shit, because they were releasing stuff that had to do with particular politicians and lies and what have you, and oil things in, you know, like, say, French investments in South America, things that were fucking with the indigenous people there. So I would check them about once a month or so. And every now and again, they used to have an article. It was either by Assange or the man he was working with at the time. I can't remember his name. And then I just kind of fell out with it because they were doing a lot of financial leaks that I don't have the expertise then or now to decipher. And it wasn't useful to what I was writing about. So I kind of gave up on them. I didn't start looking at them again until the collateral damage video was released. And then started paying attention again. But see, even with that, what you're saying is pretty true. But see, the New York Times, the UK Guardian, and whoever the fuck else, LA Times, were working with them and then dropped them. You know, this is all political fucking expediency. And, you know, the fact that Julian Assange, you know, got a bit of an ego because of this shit and became a superstar. Well, you know, hip hip hooray, you know, I'm the guy that's leaking all this shit and I'm all over Europe running around. I'm over here, I'm over there. I got this notebook and I'm on the Euro rail and I'm doing all this shit. I mean, that caught up to him eventually. But regardless, there is a legitimate journalistic fucking purpose, or should be anyway, behind what WikiLeaks is supposed to be doing. But the fact that they're being selective like this, and if they're going to be selective like this to help the far right in this way, is unforgivable. Now, I know people might disagree with me, but like you said, it's become a religion now that you can't question WikiLeaks. But you see, a lot of the people who are debating that you can't question WikiLeaks are also on this George Soros conspiracy bullshit. Or, and they believe in Agenda 21. And, you know, whatever fucking conspiracy is going on right now. So, I mean, you know, where does it end and how do we filter this shit out? Should be the discussion that the left should be having. And what the left really fucking stands for, at least in North America.
And do you see any remedy to that anywhere?
Well, yeah, we'd have to talk. Like I say, you know, people would have to start looking at the European, looking at the South American, looking at the Asian models. And get off this idea, or really start looking at the original fucking history of the left in this goddamn country. And look at how many people went to the fucking joint. Look at how many people were fucking kicked out of here during the Palmer raids and sent to countries that they didn't even fucking come from. Ask yourself who Emma Goldman was. Look at that goddamn history and see what the left used to fucking be about in this fucking country. And look at why so many Italians and shit were being kept out. The excuse was being, well, they're Italians, but we can't say that. They're suave. We can't really talk about that, but we can accuse them of being anarchists, though, because many of them are fucking anarchists. So, you know, it's like, you know, the Greeks, anarchists, Russians, anarchists. You know, we have a history here with this, but we don't know this. Well, you know, people believe, because I have arguments today with people on the left. They believe that capitalism came up with the 40-hour work week and health insurance. Not that the left fought for these things. They think that the capitalists came up with unions to do us a favor. And this is a lot of what the literature says. I know
it's a little more complicated than that.
Hell yeah. Complicated than that. Oh, hey, for people who don't want to read, why don't you look at Sylvester Stallone? He's a Republican, but he used to be a good goddamn screenwriter. And his film Fist, that explains the labor movement in this fucking country in the 30s in one goddamn film. And how it had to become dirty in order to fucking get political fucking power by hooking up with the mob. You know, here you have working people from various, you know, immigrants, American born, fighting in Boston, fighting in Chicago, fighting in New York, fighting in Philly, fighting in fucking Seattle, Duluth, for fucking just, you know, basic rights. They would have you working for $1 a day like Ivanka Trump is doing. 16 fucking hours, $1 a day. That's what Ivanka Trump is goddamn doing. This is what the fuck they wanted to bring back. And there were certain people that fucking stood up. And the Teamsters, you know, was one of them.
But it became fucking crooked because they were getting beat up by cops and getting beat up by the skull breakers that were brought in by these fucking firms. So they fucking paid the mafia, paying them off by saying, we'll help you launder your goddamn money and get you contracts so that you can get the businesses to do whatever the fuck you want to do. But we need your muscle to get these motherfuckers off our asses so that we can get to the fucking bargaining table. And that's exactly what the fuck happened. And if people don't fucking believe me, go to your local fucking library, if you still have one, and look up the fucking history of the labor movement in this country. It was not a fucking gift. You had the goddamn fucking fight for it. It's like they say, oh, well, black people have had everything they wanted since Reconstruction. Fuck you. We've had to fight for every goddamn thing we fucking got. Every goddamn thing we fucking got. Every fucking thing. So, you know, that, not knowing that, ignorance about that, you know, the idea that business, capitalism gave you all of this shit and that the white man is, you know, in America is the one that, you know, this been giving, you know, flowers of gifts and love and my God, you know, it's just, you, isn't that how Trump sounds? It's just going to be suspended. We're going to win. We're going to win so much. You won't even know what the fuck can do with it.
You're going
to
get sick of winning.
100 man. Days. Yeah, 100 days. We're losing every fucking second this motherfucker's in office. Every second this country is being more goddamn embarrassed every fucking day. His daughter just got booed in Germany. One of the more polite fucking countries in Europe. They booed the fuck out of her. And she said that my husband, my father's always been about family and women's rights.
Supporting families. Like, yeah, that was the phrase.
You got to be fucking kidding. You know, it's like, don't insult.
Yeah, but
my
I'm not. Yeah, but angry. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I am not kidding when I say that all that talk we heard in the 2016 election cycle about how it's time for America to have its first woman president. That's going to turn to ashes in a lot of mouths in 2024 when Ivanka Trump becomes the first woman president.
But the alt-right is already saying that because Ann Coulter wasn't allowed to fucking spew hate, that is anti-feminism. The fact that the fucking left here is trying to organize against Le Pen, who was an open fucking fascist. Her father regenerated the Nazis in France after Pujol tried in the goddamn 70s. He came around and fucking reinvigorated the Vichy in his goddamn country. This came around and came with a lighter version of what the fuck her father's been saying for what, 30 going on goddamn 40 motherfucking years. She just hooked up with fucking Trump. She's praising Trump. Trump is praising her. So now the fucking alt-right is trying to say that the left is anti-woman because they don't support Le Pen. So they're going to do the same shit. They're going to flip the script again and pretend that they have never been misogynist, that they've been always been about women's rights. And they're going to say, hey, we got to have a dynasty of our own. This is
well,
the
how,
dynasty.
Why is it so damn Trump- hard for the response to be, no, we oppose Nazis no matter what kind?
Because you have a bunch of fucking cowards in this country. And I'm saying this because this is the fucking truth. You have a lot of white people here that are on the fucking fence. They don't like Nazism, but they'll accept the benefits of it if they don't have to fucking participate in it. We have a lot of good motherfucking Germans in this country. Matter of fact, there's a lot of good Germans all over the fucking world. I can talk about Rwanda. I can talk about South Africa. I can talk about Nigeria. I can also talk about the fucking Philippines. I can talk about Mexico. I can talk about Nicaragua, right? I can talk about how black people treat each other here. We got a lot of good fucking Germans who know that Trump is a fucking racist, but if they can get a fucking job from it, they think, or they can get that Mexican's house after he gets kicked out of the fucking country, then fuck it. And then when it's all over, I'll just be like, well, I was never for it. I'm saying this because I know South Africans, Boers, white South Africans who live here now, who are like, yeah, when the apartheid was over, they everybody he said the same thing. I was never supportive of apartheid. I was never supportive of apartheid. Everybody did. The same people who were saying, stop those fucking niggas from tearing up the fucking country. The day after, I never supported apartheid. Never ever in my life. Never ever in my life. Ever. I always supported the ANC. Were you part of the movement? Well, no. I had a family.
peacefully, and you know, I went about my life.
Right,
but
exactly.
I treated everybody the same.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program, and I'm sorry there were so many fits and starts, Angry, but it was a wonderful. I got email. It was a wonderful conversation, just the same.
Okay. Well, hey, man, you know, I'll let you go so you can close out. But hey, everybody, please, you're not going to find fucking radio like this. Keep this man on the air. Do what the fuck you can. I know it's hard. Please reach deep, jiggle those coins if you can, and send this man a little money. Peace.
Thank you, Angry. Later. And the truth of the matter is, this evening's program, at least while it was live on the air, is a goose egg. So where I entered the program thinking, hey, we got a fighting chance. All we got to do is raise $200 tonight and $200 tomorrow night, and we've got April taken care of. It's not going to be as easy as all that. We raised absolutely nothing, so that means that whatever happens with the overnight crew, we'll have something like $400 to raise tomorrow night to finish April, nudge the Norske, and lick the Lithuanian. Because at the end of the month, it's kind of thin as far as subscriptions go. Quite often, our subscribers make up shortfalls. That's not likely to happen on the 29th and 30th of April. So thanks, everybody. Thank you very kindly. Appreciate you joining in this evening. Thanks to everybody who does contribute to keep the horn on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in whatever way you choose in this ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky HDTV in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are, too.